Good afternoon and welcome to Utopia with Betty and Paul Picard. For those of you who are new to a session with us, we want you to know how glad we are you decided to join us. And we want even more for you to know how glad we are that we're here. We're having a great time, and as we watched the people who came in with us last Saturday leaving at the end of their week, we were very pleased that it wasn't the end of ours, that we've got more time with you. Let me introduce Utopia with just a couple of remarks, and then we'll try to get a considerable amount of involvement from each of us who are here. First, let's address the question, why look at Utopia, what we mean by Utopia. And the word seems to have a variety of meanings to different people, but for us, it's the idea of an ideal society. Most of you recognize that it comes from Thomas More's book Utopia, and he describes a land called Erewhon, which spelled backwards is...
That was Butler. Nowhere.
Nowhere. Did I get the wrong one?
Yeah. Thomas More.
Samuel Butler wrote Erewhon, and Thomas More wrote Utopia.
I know More wrote Utopia, but I thought he called his island...
No, Utopia is a Greek word meaning nowhere.
Right.
And Butler in 1885 took it and put it nowhere backwards as Erewhon.
I've mixed the two up, but I knew I pointed to the right name for the explanation there. It's a recurring attempt then in our culture, in our history, in our civilization, to try and visualize or try and portray or try and think about an ideal or perfect society. And why waste our time with such an effort? The answer seems to be because that enables us to see our own society in a new light, to examine the society we live in with the critical eye of contrasting the way we do things with the way we wish we could do things, or the way we wish we would do things. So we move ahead with that in mind. It's not that we're trying to retreat away from this world into utopia, just that we're trying to understand this world better by imagining utopia. We titled our afternoon, Utopia for Whom? Now, and that's what I want to turn to very soon. But one ground rule I wanted to lay down for us, if you don't mind me being somewhat authoritative about this, is that that we talk about a utopia for people, for human beings, for, if you will, a fallen humanity. I don't see any advantage or any purpose in trying to talk about a utopia for angels, a society of perfect people, a society of people who are not really human beings like the rest of us. And to imagine what the world would be like if it was populated not by us, but by perfect creatures is not our purpose today. But let's think in terms of an ideal society for the kind of people we are. I don't know exactly how you like to see humanity, but I suppose it's fair for us to admit that we are a fallen species. We are a sinful species. Many of us believe we have been saved. But that doesn't change our fallen nature. For my own part, and I'm not sure that any of the pastors among us would agree with me, or if they did, they'd find a much better way to say it. For my own part, I see us not only as fallen, as sinful, as essentially, you know, really trying to understand what kind of animals are we. We are brother killers, and we aspire, in a blasphemous kind of way, we aspire to be God ourselves. like most of you, I guess I was brought up in that nice scientific age that pays more respect to Darwin than to Genesis. But as I've thought more about what kind of creatures we are, I come more and more to the conclusion that Genesis is a much better description than Darwin. I don't doubt that Darwin is, in some sense, historically more accurate. The Genesis is not a history book or a biology book. Anyway, in addition to being brother killers and aspiring ourselves to be God, we also have a capacity for love that distinguishes us from other kinds of creatures. And it's this mixture, this contradiction in our nature that I think we all have to deal with, and trying to paint a utopia this afternoon, let's do it for that kind of a creature, partly a suffering thing of original sin and redemption, not through our own efforts, but also a loving kind of potential in it. Now, did I have enough slips of paper to go around?
No, because we've got some newcomers.
Oh, yeah. What? Are there any more? Did we already take them?
I have some. I don't know.
Well, I'll just cut some more here.
While you're doing that, does some of you know some examples of efforts in the past, some historical efforts at Utopia?
Turn over your spoon at the table. Oneida Silverware.
Right, right. Where was Oneida?
Oneida, New York.
Yeah. What was their premise?
There was some aspects of premise of communism where they shared possessions in common. And I may be wrong, but I think they did not believe in husbands and wives, but having sexual relations based on love and companionship, but not always with the same man and woman. I may be in error there.
No, I think you're right about Oneida. And then there was another one where they disapproved entirely of sexual relationships.
That was
anybody know
Shakers.
That one? The Shakers, right?
Yeah.
Right, right. Even before that,
Thomas More established a colony or a land.
Did he establish it, or did he just write about it?
I thought he established it.
That was 1518. That was merely a document to be read.
He didn't really go through with it then, huh?
No.
Oh, I see. I was thinking he established it for the workers.
You're thinking of a Scottish mill hand who did establish one, Owenite. They established it in Scotland, and this country was a failure, though. Robert Owen.
Yeah, it was for workers that, were depressed and exploited and so forth. They formed their own colony and provide their own goods and services and so on. It's supposed to be an ideal colony.
Do you think of one closer to home?
Port Angeles was established as a utopian community.
Where is Port Angeles? I'm not familiar with that.
It's from the Olympic Peninsula.
Oh, yeah?
And it was settled as an effort at an ideal community that soon failed. People came from the East Coast out there.
How long was that?
End of the last century.
That was sort of the heyday of that.
Relatively small.
You
call it a colony of three lepers.
Oh, yeah? That's enough to damn just about any effort, isn't it?
Some of you are Norwegian, may know Ole Bull, the most famous violinist of the 19th century. He wanted to establish a perfect community for Norwegians in this country. And those who came over here wrote a song in Norwegian, which is really funny, pointing out how every utopian hope collapsed in Ole Bull's community. But I don't know any more about it than that.
Oh, I know. It's called Oleana.
Oleana, right.
Somewhere in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, all that.
The ones that seem to have a strong religious bent seem to be the ones that had the best chance of survival. But none of them really get very far, do they? Let's jot down, we have some extra pens, let's jot down. Now, it occurs to me that there's going to be a lot of overlap here, and that's why I thought it'd be good if we each jot it down, and we wouldn't have to worry about repeating somebody else. We won't be repeating them. We will have put it down ourselves. And if you want, I don't think it's important in this case, but sometimes it's helpful, and we can shuffle them up so that you don't have to be stuck with your own response if you'd rather have it be anonymous. What do you? Let me put it to you, and then you see if you, if some of you think it would be better anonymous, we'll throw them all in the center and deal them out again, and people can own up to them or disown them, depending on how the conversation goes. But what I thought we could start with is just a couple of words, single words, maybe a couple of words, that you would use to characterize one or two, three or four qualities or features of a utopia, kind of the key to your utopia. What would be a single word or a very short phrase that would point out some, you know, very few of the basic features of the of your utopia?
Equality.
Why don't we, can I loan a pen to somebody? I'm not trying to restrict us here. I'm trying to open up. The restriction is that we do it in terms of people like us, that is to say, human beings, not angels.
What we're doing is writing down a single word to describe our what we think utopia ought to be, could be.
A single word?
Well, no, you can use more than one word, but don't write a paragraph.
Oh, okay.
just looking for some of the features, then we can go around and talk about them. Save some room on your paper, perhaps on the back side, and jot down some indication of who you'd find in your utopia. I've narrowed the thing down to people rather than angels. But aside from that, what kind of people would they be? Who might some of them be? Is that suggestive enough?
For kinds of people.
Yes, let me ask you to do either or both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we throw them all in, we'll get a feel for how a group of us imagine it. I'm going to make my list of people a little longer than my list of characteristics. I'm going to put down some negative things too. I'm going to put down some people who aren't going to be there.
Rather,
people would be more comfortable to make it anonymous?
Right, I would.
All right. What we can do to satisfy both groups of people is if we would toss them in, shuffle them out, and whenever we're talking about one, you can identify yourself with it if you want to, either openly, directly, or kind of slyly. But if then you prefer just to leave it out there so that let other people talk about it impersonally, without, they won't worry about your reaction to it because they don't know who you are, and you won't worry about being embarrassed by it, that'll work. Yeah. So we can have it both ways. If we'll just let it all go in the center.
I'll be
the monitor. It won't, this may not be perfect, but it'll... Let's have one quick whip around on the shorter side, not the who would be there, but the characteristic of it. The slip in front of me says that utopia, in utopia, one would have individual freedom within a sense of community. Let's just whip around and see how much overlap we have, and see which ones we want to stop and talk about. And so on.
Would you repeat that?
All right. Individual freedom within a sense of community.
Adequate food, shelter, economic needs met. Minimum of conflict. This one says freedom from want, oppression.
Excuse me, let's just go around in order, otherwise we won't know when we're through, really.
You want me?
Please.
A place full of love. Okay, this one says open communication, equal sharing, meaningful work, good educational opportunities, reasonably comfortable room and board, and medical care.
Heaven.
Heaven.
Peace, progress.
Peace
and progress.
Equality, in parentheses, opportunity, education, property, and also freedom from worry about enough food, medical care, and old age care.
I can get a couple of them, brotherhood and religious commitment, or something in between. Yeah.
Common ownership.
Common ownership.
Oh, selflessness. And I'm not sure this is more as government than war. Human construction, not. Sorry, I can't read it.
Caring and loving people and freedom from hunger.
Christ-centered, cooperative, and egalitarian.
Congeniality?
What?
Congeniality?
Non-competitive, based upon love and mutual respect, shared values.
Okay.
Here? Sharing, caring community. Justice and equality for all.
Caring, friendly, and loving, helpful, godly, joyous.
Proper stewardship of the land.
Caring and sharing.
Loving, warm.
Peace, non-changing space.
Equality with diversity.
Understanding.
I couldn't get
understanding.
It.
Understanding.
Understanding.
A common sense of moral ideals or moral goals, particularly with respect to the honest efforts, accomplishments, and ideas of others.
I have compassion, charity, and love.
Freedom from want, oppression, dictatorship.
Okay. Oh. Freely flowing, friendship towards one another, free of prejudicial. For prejudice, I guess.
Yeah. Dynamic life, love, spiritual, God-oriented.
I'm glad we were able to each respond individually, because many of us are responding the same way, aren't we? Do those seem to fall in about three categories? Mm-hmm. What's one theme that ran through many of them?
Love.
Love, and some of the associated things of the caring, the attitude of people towards each other. What was the second theme?
Justice.
Justice.
Equality.
The equality seems to be one way of describing justice, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And the third category I heard.
Security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Several of them.
material.
Dealt with just the nitty-gritty thing that when it gets to utopia, we're going to have to eat and have shelter. So the physical, meaning the physical, I don't want to use the word necessity, but taking care of the physical aspect of our life. Have I missed something in there? All right. That doesn't quite fit into one of my three, does it? No. And that came up in a couple, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The sense of community, sense of shared values. There wasn't too much of that, though, was there?
There's a shared value.
Yeah. At a basic level. But, would it be fair to say that those seem to be points about our own society that we're worried about?
Mm-hmm.
That by picking those things out for our utopia, we're expressing our apprehension about the lack of them, or our concern about the lack of them here. Some of us were looking earlier in the week at the American Creed, and of course all week long, I suppose every week up here, people keep looking at their religious view of life, keep looking at life from the point of view of religion. Those two perspectives seem to dictate our sense of utopia, don't they? Did you see any contradictions at all? Here, how many people are we? Are there 30 of us, perhaps? Do you see any contradictions at all in our sense of utopia?
Well, one or two words are obvious contradictions. It seems to me, property and then sharing everything. Is that a contradiction?
What was the one about property?
Private property.
It just said property, didn't it?
Property.
What did it say?
It said opportunity, inferences is opportunity, education, property.
That's under the heading of equality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's, I thought that was in line with the others. I didn't hear any real contradiction, except perhaps, what was yours again?
Quality.
I don't mean the one you wrote, the one you're reading.
Equality with diversity.
And there was another one. There was a reference to Christianity and religious commitment would allow for diversity.
Christ-centered.
Yes. So there's a contradiction there, isn't there? We may get back to that when we look to see who's in the utopia.
Just isn't there a contradiction between consensus and shared values and freedom?
Very tough nut to crack, isn't it?
I'm sorry, what was
that? Yes, is there a contradiction between commitment, shared values, sense of community, those things we're talking about, and also, which is what appeared, is the notion of freedom. And
I solved that problem by only letting people in my utopia have certain values, and then they could be free to express.
Well, we read about God and Jesus, and in whose service is perfect freedom. So there may be a kind of freedom with agreement, but I guess I'm inclined to agree. There's at least a tension there, if not a contradiction. That if we're free, how will we know we're free if some of us don't abuse the freedom? How will we know we have freedom of speech if some people don't say the wrong thing?
Robert Frost says freedom was being easy and harnessed. There are limits, but the limits don't step on you too hard. Easy in the harness.
Well, that's like this lady's utopia, where where just let the right ones in to start with. But how would one know after a generation, say, that the people still had freedom if nobody ever goes wrong?
There seems to have to be certain limits on anything as you go too far one way or the other. Now, like freedom of speech, there's certain words that you don't say.
And that you don't say, but that some people do say,
yeah.
And that's how we know we have freedom of speech. It was very upsetting to us when these words that we thought belonged on the third grade boys' room wall suddenly started appearing in other places. They don't belong in other places. But you're making a very strong point, I think, that which makes why I said freedom is such a tough nut to crack. I don't believe there's such a thing as freedom in anarchy or freedom in the jungle. I see freedom as existing only with order. I don't see how we can have freedom without at the same time having order. I take, in my own view, for what it's worth, not much. It seems to me the proper function of law and order is to enhance individual freedom. I think that's what would be going on in my utopia, at least. It would be orderly, so as to enable people to be free. But I think I'm agreeing with you, then, that the freedom exists within limits, and maybe that's what Jim's saying about Frost rides within some kind of a harness.
Wouldn't you also say, I heard the word conflict, you know,
yes.
that you wouldn't want everything to be peaches and cream.
Ah.
That if there is conflict, that then you would understand what freedom is, because I don't agree with you. I may be free to say how I feel. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to hate you or you're my enemy, that I'm still going to love you, but I'm not always going to agree with what you say. So I will understand what my freedom is if I can say it.
When we're looking for examples of utopia, nobody suggested Holden Village as utopia. But it has a little of that quality.
We come here with our families.
But one of the problems at Holden Village is perhaps a little too much homogeneity and not enough conflict, perhaps, you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I heard a lot of it in the lectures that I've been attending.
And so the conflict is a kind of a spice that puts a little more life into what otherwise might get a little sweet, a little sticky,
well,
a little saccharine.
It'd be very boring to have everybody agree on everything.
Mm-hmm. Somebody has said the one thing lacking at Holden Village is humility.
Well, like many Christians, we can be very...
Faculty, staff, or guests.
You and me.
Well...
only the people.
Many.
Well, a humble chipmunk. We know how they steal our popcorn.
We find many people very proud of their humility, don't we?
Oh, what is humility?
Does someone want to answer that? The question is, what is humility? But we were seen in a constructive role for conflict. There's a dynamic of conflict which we may want to preserve in our utopia.
I'm kind of interested in why is this business of food, clothing, and shelter, assurance of food, clothing, and shelter, such a big deal?
Because then how do we die?
Right.
No, we die anyway. That's not a good enough answer. We die anyway. Perhaps you say we die too soon.
Well,
you feel pretty uncomfortable if you don't have enough to eat, or you have to sleep out in the snow or something like that. Well, you have to have these creature comforts to make you feel pretty good.
But I thought sort of the implication was that these would be assured no matter what you did, even if it didn't work. Was that the idea or not really? Or was that implicit, that of course we would work to get those things?
Well, we did. That didn't crop up, did it?
No.
That people would be working in utopia.
Somebody said meaningful.
Where was it?
Meaningful.
Oh, meaningful work. Yeah. Yes.
And I put down too that everyone should be doing the work that they enjoy. It wasn't read, but that they should, you know, you should have to be utopia. It should be work that you really want to do.
Who didn't read that? I'm glad you mentioned it.
The one where it says congeniality.
Let me write that with one.
So what if we do work that no one wants but we produce?
And the answer for some of that great art would be no, it's not. Nobody wants it. You're wasting your time.
People might have said that about Edison with his electric light bulb. A few people might have said that.
Up until he made the thing work.
Until he made the thing work.
Let's take a look at who would be in utopia. Can we just flip around again quickly? Now let me ask you to look at the list, and if you think, Fred, we won't ask everybody to read them because we've got about 10 minutes. Let's just hear some things. Look at your list and pick out what do you think would be helpful here for us to have.
Christ. Mine's a Dan Erlander. That's a good choice.
Martin Luther King?
Mine doesn't have anything.
Either some that are more generic.
Husband and children.
Husband, children, family. I'm embarrassed I didn't put that down.
People who share the same ideals and commitments and young couples.
some geriatric put that down. Yeah. Old people like young people better than young people like young people.
Those who believe in nonviolence.
Nonviolence.
You wanted something a little more generic?
Yeah.
No priests or ministers. Christian, Jews, and atheists. No bankers.
No Jews?
No. Christians, Jews, and atheists. I assume all Jews. No priests, ministers, no bankers, artists, poets, musicians, manual laborers, philosophers, mechanics, engineers, and managers.
there's a conflict in there. There was some sense that... Yeah, there was some sense of a Christian utopia, and this one is saying rather specifically to include some non-Christians.
Yeah, it also seemed to say no capitalists. No bankers.
No, but engineers and managers.
Well, they're managers and socialists.
Yeah. What's it say on the other side of that one?
Equality with diversity.
Yeah.
So it's this. How do you feel about Jews in your utopia? Wouldn't it be nice if they were all saved? You know, if they would accept Jesus as their Savior?
Golda Meir said an attractive thing about Jews, where there are two Jews, there are three opinions. that's really diversity.
I don't think Jews are beyond believing in Christ. I don't think they're beyond that. I think that we are very close to them at one point. And I think perhaps one of the reasons they aren't is maybe that's the Christians' weakness and their fault.
Well, it seemed to me after a few generations of believing in Christ, they stopped being Jewish. I don't know how many generations it takes, depending on whether you're dealing with a person like Hitler or I don't know what it takes. But yeah, surely all Christianity comes out of Judaism, doesn't it? There's still a conflict there.
I met a Jewish minister in Hawaii, just very unexpectedly, a Lutheran pastor. In Hawaii.
Jouet?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I asked him how he explained it. And he said he met a friend who explained to them the history of the Christian faith. And he said, when I took my the Jewish faith to the point where there was a separation, I became very interested in that separation. And he said that's what one of the things that led me to Christ. So, you know, I don't think that the Jews are all damned.
Well, the Christian faith is founded very largely on the Jewish faith, Jewish foundation. We spring from that.
The other, the third category there was atheist, so mm-hmm. by definition that would not be Christian.
Do you think they belong in utopia?
Well, I think the business thing would probably depend on your idea of how much diversity you want. We have, we talked that very early on, we had one person who had only people who agreed with him.
Who would the Christians have to work on to convert? to whom could the Christians preach the good news if everybody was already a believer? It's like, I was going to pull one of Jim's quotes, but I'm not going to.
I don't know if the Essene community that the Dead Sea Scrolls was written about was considered an attempt toward utopia, but that was definitely formed as a religious community. And I think that for me, my utopia would be a religious community. So I would want people to make a commitment in that community, or there would be a 6 and 7 And in fact, we spent 3 years with several families talking about forming a community, and I was the only Christian in the group. And it all cracked open when I said, "What do you think of Christ?" And they all, and I there was no way I could raise my children in that community, having all these other people.
It seemed to me that, just very personally, I'm agreeing with the person who wants the Jews in the utopia. Mm-hmm. The Jews have so much to teach us about suffering. And it's hard for me to imagine a utopia that didn't understand suffering. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure a bunch of people really agreeing with each other on the Christianity would be able to appreciate the full depth, the full meaning of Christianity.
What about other, I mean, we're talking about the Jews and the Christians and the atheists, but there are, I mean, that you can account for a large percentage of the world population.
Right.
Muslims and Hindus, and what about those people today? Jews, I mean, they're fine with me.
Yeah.
As long as they have certain other values. Like I said, there's certain values that I want in my utopia. But it seems to me you can come to those values through a lot of different pathways. And it's not Christian values. The Christian way is not the only way to the values that I would care about with people that I live with. Now that, to some people, is maybe heresy or something.
But we haven't discussed scale either. I think it depends. Are we talking about community or society? Utopian society, utopian community.
Ah, yes.
And
it'd be quite different, wouldn't it?
Quite different.
Yes.
Yeah.
One could withdraw into a relatively small community of very like-minded people.
Still having contact with larger society.
Yes. Yeah. Let me remind you of one of the hazards of like-minded people, and this comes out of the protest movement of the 60s, maybe into the early 70s, but a bunch of kind of radical people are sitting around a table talking with each other, and one of them says, "I am really against the war in Vietnam," and the next one says, "So what? You're not doing anything about it. I'm against the war in Vietnam. I'm writing letters to the editor," and the other one says, "What good is a letter to the editor? I'm getting my body out there in the street. I'm sitting down in front of the draft offices and so on. I'm more radical than you." And the next one says, "Sitting in front of the draft office is nothing. They just haul you away. I go into the draft office and I pour human blood all over their files." And the next one says, "That's just a gesture. I burn the place down at night." And so they go around the table, and each one has to be more radical than the one before. And by the time they get back to the first guy is going to stay in the group of either sex. That person has to come up with something more radical. So there's a risk in this game. It can be played, I'm holier than you. I gave up more for Lent than you did. Or I went to prayer meeting more often than you did, or I spoke in tongues longer than you did. It can take the same form, and the advantage of the diversity of having these non-conform people around that tend to keep the group honest, tend to force the group not just to inflate each other, but to deal with perhaps more substantial problems. Well, you knew when you came in here that we weren't going to get anywhere. But we peck away at it, and I don't know about you, I get a little extra insight. I was impressed by the way it went around, the different ideas people had. Helps me think it through better in my terms, and I hope that's what it does for you. It helps you think it through better in your terms as you go on. You plug a little bit more in. We continue to educate each other with it. And it sounds to me like Utopia sounds for to talk about some more, if not here in the village or in our other groups as we find ourselves with other friends and other people. Thank you. Yes?
We think of heaven as the ultimate utopia.
Someone said that. It was on the slip. But I think perhaps more people would have said that if I hadn't kind of arbitrarily ruled it out. Maybe I can close with this. Don't exaggerate what I'm going to say, but I'll just say it in as straightforwardly as I can. Betty and I first learned about Holden Village from some people, friends of ours, who had been here. Some of you know them, Vernon and Billy Fiatop. And they were, frankly, they were rather inarticulate in trying to describe it.
But so you're not their style, you know.
No, they talked very well. But they couldn't really describe it. And we didn't get a good image. We couldn't imagine what it was like. But what they were able to do was convey their spirit, their sense of spirit to us. That was contagious. And so we got kind of excited about it without knowing what we're excited about. And find ourselves, just a year later, find ourselves here, very, very happily here. And now that we see it, now that we meet you, talk to you, we say, well, of course, this is what they were trying to say. We recognize it. We understand it.
One of our old philosophers who has long gone now said this, if you could describe Holden Village, you'd ruin it.
Well, it might not, it wouldn't be, it certainly wouldn't be the same place if it was
right.
Right. Now, what I'm going to close with, and I think I might beat the bell, is my mother, when she was a very young woman, college age woman, met an Episcopal clergyman who told her, I don't know what heaven is like. But if I ever get there, I'm going to look around and say, well, of course,